Okay, Rabosai, if you can open up the daf beis on the beis, and we can get started. And we're counting up from the bottom of daf beis on the beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines. V'gabi get. The Gemara wants to know, what is the source for the principle that as far as writing a get is concerned, you must have l'shma in a positive sense? In other words, we don't apply the principle of staman kelishma. We have already established until this point that with regard to kachim, we apply the principle of staman kelishma, which means that if a person shechts the, let's say it's a kohen, he shechts the chatos and he has nothing in mind, then it's ola and it's kosher. However, in get, if the sofer writes the get and he has no one in mind, in other words, he doesn't write the get specifically for this mekadesh or megaresh and this miskadesh, this miskareshes, then the get is posel. So the Gemara says, we got to get the stoma posel minolan. What's the source for Rava's conclusion that with regard to get, stoma is posel? That means it's not enough just to write the get and say, you know, whoever needs this get will use the get. No, we require that the sofer, when he writes the get, he has to have in mind the ish and the isha. And the Gemara now is going to quote a Mishnah in Masechta Git. And this Mishnah, as you'll see in the Masoras HaShas, is here on Daf Chav Dalet. Okay, so let's open up to the Mishnah Daf Chav Dalet, and you could see it here in the Gemara here at the beginning of Zvachim. Thanks, and let's take a look. The Mishnah opens up the second perek of, I'm sorry, the third perek of Masechta Gittin by saying Kol Get Shenichtav Shalo L'Shum Isha Posel. If a get was written not for the sake of the woman who's miskareshes, the Torah says because of law, sefer krisus, which means it has to be written law for her sake, posel. In the Mishnah, the word posel in Masechta Gittin means worthless. In the Rambam, it could mean something else, but in the Mishnah, it means that it's not a get. Ketzad, what would be the case? Hoya over bashuk. He was walking, now this man who's walking in the marketplace has decided to divorce his wife, Lolin. Vishama kol sofrim makrim. And he hears the sofrim, and we'll soon see that these sofrim are apprentices, the young men who are learning how to write gittin, makrim. And they were calling out loud the name of the man and the name of the woman that they were writing in the get. Now, the Mishnah uses the plural form because presumably in this class in which they're learning Safrus, there are a number of participants. So it uses the plural. Ish ploni megaresh es plonis mimakom ploni. Now I'm going to just dramatize this and say we're talking in a very large city. You know, today we have urban centers that have close to 10 million people, probably even more than that. And there's a large Jewish population in that city. Okay, that's the situation that we're dealing with. So the sofer, in this case, writes a get for, let's call it Reuven and Leah. Those are common names. And they're all from this city. You know, the city of Moscow, the city of London, the city of New York, wherever it might be. A large urban center. The online, this person going by, he hits the jackpot, and he declares, Zeshmi, v'zeshem ishti. It happens to be that my name is Reuven, my wife's name is Leah. So the Mishnah says, Posel legarish bo. This get is disqualified. So the Gemara wants to suggest that this is going to be the source for the halacha that in get we require lishma, and we don't say that stoma kilishma dami. In other words, stoma means that when the sofer writes the get and he says, you know, this get is for Reuven and Leah, any Reuven any lay, as long as the names match, the get should be valid. That's a kind of a general kavanas lishma in get, and it includes any Reuven on the world, on the face of the world, who's married to any lay on the face of the world. And the Gemara thinks that that's called stama. That means his kavana, his lishma is stama, meaning for anyone who fits the bill, anyone who has that, you know, if we can get a couple that has the combination of those two names. And the Gemara thinks in such a case, why should the Mishnah passel the get? It could only be because stama is shelo lishma. In other words, there's no difference. Remember, yesterday we discussed three possible cases, three scenarios. You have one scenario where it was lishma. You have another scenario where it was shelo lishma for the sake of someone else, and then, or another karbon. And then we have the middle case, that's the gray area, the twilight zone, where he had nothing in mind. So the Gemara thinks that this is like having nobody in specific in mind. He didn't have in mind a particular Reuven married to a particular Leah other than this Reuven and Leah. He had in mind, in a general sense, any Reuven and any Leah. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara rejects this. This is not a source to prove the din of stoma in get, that stoma in get is possible. Dilma kidrav papa, because we're going to perhaps accept the interpretation of that Mishnah offered by Rav Papa, the Yom Rav Papa, Hacha, in the Mishnah, what's the scenario? Bisofrim hasuyim lislamed askina. We're talking about young apprentices, as we called it before. Velo ichtav lishum krisus klal. You have to underline those four words. I mean, these words of, you know, five words, lo ichtav lishum krisus klal, they contain the whole key to understanding this sugya. Yes, there's something called stoma. And stoma is kilishma. Stoma is valid. And that's what the Gemara is arguing now, sort of the adversary position. Ah, you'll ask me, so if stoma is kosher in get, so why is this get puzzle? And the answer is because stoma means that it was written for the sake of krisus. In order to generate a din of lishma, it's sufficient, again, according to this advocate who says that stoma is kilishma, it's sufficient that there's a general kavana l'shem gerishin. And that would include any man and lady that fit the bill because their names are appropriate and they match. But why is our Mishnah here at the beginning of the third paragraph getting passeling the get? We're not talking about a sofer who wrote it for the purpose of gerushin, but why would he write the get? Why did he write the get?
As
a teaching practice. Excellent. It's just in order to sharpen his skills as a sofer. Ella says the Gemara Mehacha. Now here you want to take a look on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm going to look in the Mishnah in Gittin, and the Mishnah in Gittin reads the following: Yeser Mikan. I'll give you even a bigger chiddush, says the Mishnah. Another case where the get is possible because it's lacking in lishma. Kosav legarishes ishto. He commissioned a sofer to write a get in order that he could use this get to divorce his wife. Vinimlach. And he changed his mind. Baruch Hashem. He decided, I want to continue this marriage. Now, in that city, again, let's dramatize it. It's a very large city. Matzo ben Iro, another member of that city. Now, it's crucial in Hilchas Gittin that he is another member of that same city, that two people that live in the same city, because a get is only kosher, that's a Mishnah later on in Masech Tagin, if you write the name of the city. So the name of the city has to be identical. So this person who, as we'll soon see, has the identical name of his friend who commissioned writing of the get, lives in the same city. The Amalo. And he says the following: Shmi kishimcha, v'shem ishti kishem ishticha. My name is the same as your name. My wife's name is the same as your wife's name. We're both Reuven and married to Leah. Now, although the get was written for your sake, why can't I use the get? And the Mishnah says, no, despite that argument, that the get is identical to what the get would have been had it been written on behalf of Reuven II, nevertheless, posel agarish bo. You cannot use it. And the get is posel. So the Gemara here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph says the following, that we should derive from this that stoma is posel. Why? Because the Gemara at this point thinks that when the Sofer writes the get, although he was commissioned by Reuven the First, he has in mind, and I'll explain in a minute why, that it should be a default situation. Default. If, let's say, Reuven the First changes his mind, let it be for Reuven the Second. In other words, the Gemara at this point is juggling a very complex kind of machshava on behalf of the Sofer. The Sofer is thinking, I want to maximize my possibilities. You know, Safras is an expensive thing. It costs you a lot of money. And that's how he makes his parnasa. Yeah, I heard today on the radio a whole discussion about young yeshiva students who, for whatever reason, they decide to leave the yeshiva and pursue a parnasa. So the radio announcer was analyzing the possibility that safrus might be a good option. Beinenu, among, just, this shouldn't leave the room, safrus is not a very good option. If a young man has a brain on his, on, you know, a head on his shoulders, I'm not sure that safrus is the way to go. Safrus is meant for a certain type of mindset. It's not for everybody. Anyway, so this Sofer is thinking, how do I maximize my possibilities? I got to sell this get on the market. So again, Reuven commissioned that I should write him the get. He may pull out. And if he pulls out, I want to get something out of this get. You know, I may be able to, again, this is Masechta Bava Kamma, I may be able to sue Reuven the First for damages, maybe it's grumah b'nezikin, and you have to understand that's a sugya. I don't know if it's direct damages or indirect damages, but on the other hand, I got this get. Let me use this get. So already up front, as we say in parlance, we say from the get go, the Sofer was very clever, and he had in mind that in event that this Reuven pulls out, I want to give it to another person who has the same name Reuven, is married to the same name Leah. The Gemara says no. That doesn't prove that stoma is possible. Stoma, if he had no one in mind, if he wasn't commissioned by anyone, he just picked out of the hat, you know, he wrote a template, you know, for Reuven and Leah, that's fine. But here, Dilma Shiny Hossam, the intikle. Okay, intikle means, in a sense, he cut it off. Milashon nituk. Intikle means he cut off this get from any other Reuven and Leah other than the one who commissioned, that's what we call Reuven the First, who commissioned him to write the get. Is l'shem gerishin dahu? The Sofer, by implementing the will and the commission, as we call it, the request of Reuven the First, wrote it specifically for Reuven the First. Now here again, if you ever get a hold of the Masifta, there's a very fascinating twin pair of footnotes here, known as Gimel and Dalid, and they present the analysis of the sugya of the Sfas Emes. And the Sfas Emes says that in the Havamina, the Gemara thought that Eino Kosev, the Sofer, when he writes again, Eino Kosev B'dafka L'shem Achas, he didn't have in mind specifically this Reuven and this Leah. And the Maskon is no, that the Sofer, nevertheless, did I say he didn't have in mind? I meant to say he did have in mind. So let me go over it one more time, just in case I made a mistake. In the Hava, meaning the Gemara thinks, Eino Kosev B'dafka L'shem Isha Zu, L'shem Ish Zeh. The Gemara thought that this is called stoma because included in his kavanas lishma is the whole world, anyone who fits the bill and is Reuven married to Leah. Says the Sfas Emes, but lamaskana in the Dechias HaGemara, the Gemara says that's not called stoma. Why? Because stoma means on behalf of a woman who's not, if you remember the discussion that we had yesterday, she's not omedes legerushin. She hasn't been singled out for divorce. In this case, there was a woman who was singled out for divorce by Reuven the first, who commissioned the sofer to write the get. And therefore, the Gemara's maskana is that the lishma is directed, related exclusively to Leah, who's married to Reuven, Reuven the first. The Gemara says, Elami Hacha. Let's go on in the Mishnah. Now I really have a clear-cut proof from the next part of the Mishnah. This is on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis and Masechta the Gittin. We turn to the next Daf. So Rabosa, we're learning two Dafim today. Not only a Daf in Zvachim, we're also learning a Daf in Gittin. Not the whole Daf, but most of it. Yes, Erika, and I'll go even further. Meaning the Mishnah is going to passel a get because of chisaron lishma, the absence of lishma, even in a more chidush case, a more radical case. Hayelo shtei nashim v'shemoseim shavos. Wow, this is interesting. Reuven is married to two women. They both have the name Leah. This man is very attracted to Leah. He loves Leahs, right? But at one point in his life, he realizes that two women is too much for him to handle. I don't know if it's because they both had the same name or irrelevant to that, but the bottom line is, as we say in those countries where bigotry is prohibited, one woman is more bigamy. I'm sorry, is one woman is more than enough, more than you can handle. So at this point, you know, he thinks to himself, which one of these two have to go? So he says, "Kasim legarish the sagadola." He decided for whatever reason that the older one of the two, she, you know, he's been married to her for longer years, and, you know, he's had enough, whatever. Is lo yagarish bo saktana? What does that mean? If the magarish, we'll call him Reuven, because here there's only one Reuven, he decided that, you know what, I got a change of heart. She's been loyal to me for many years, she's older, it's going to be harder for her to find a shidduch, you know, and she can't marry Cohen, and so on. I have no rachmanis on the ketana, on Leah the second. So can I use this get for Leah the second? Now watch what happens over here. Nothing changes in the get. The get as it's written is absolutely appropriate for this gerush, because it's the same Reuven, it's a different Leah, but she has the same name Leah. And everything seems to be fine. The only problem is that when Reuven had commissioned the sofer to write the get, he had in mind the first Leah. The Sfasemis claims that the sofer was unaware, he was totally unaware of the fact that this Reuven had another wife by the same name. And therefore the Gemara thinks that since the sofer is unaware of the specifics, he thinks, you know what, I don't know who he has in mind. He didn't tell me that it was this Leah, he didn't tell me it was another Leah. Let me have, as I called it before, the fallback position, that in event he wants to use it in any sort of way, I'm just fulfilling his commission, meaning he authorized me to write the get lishma for the purpose of Reuven. Reuven, in fact, is going to use the get. He told me that the name to write in the get is Leah. I don't have in mind any specific Leah. I don't know. Maybe he's married to 50 women with the same name Leah. I don't know. In other words, the sofer is very eager to supply this Reuven, and there's only one Reuven in this case in the Mishnah, with a get that he can use. He asks Reuven, well, what name should I write for your wife? I know what city you live in, I know your name, but what name is your, what's your wife's name? He says, Leah. He says, the sofer wrote Leah. He didn't have in mind a specific Leah. Says the Sfasemes, in fact, the sofer didn't even recognize the fact that there was a second Leah. He doesn't know. He just writes Leah because that's what he was commissioned to do. If you take a look at Rashi over here, on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, if you skip down to the third line from the top, Elami Ha. Rashi says, Da'adifa mikamaisa. The Gemara thinks that this case is a stronger proof than the previous case. Why? Da'acha chad gavro. Here we have only one Megarish. And the Megarish who commissioned the sofer is indeed the Megarish, identical to the Megarish that's going to use this get. So we have already 50% of the Lishma, because it was written for the sake of Reuven and it's being given by Reuven. The question is, we're missing the second half of the Lishma. That's called Mistam. The sofer writes a general Lashem Leah, but that can include any Leah. So the Gemara says, no. That's also no proof. Why? Dilma shani hasam de intaklei. Once again, there's a nituk. L'shem gerishin dahi. He has in mind exclusively Leah the first, Leah the Gedola, as we called her. Why? Says it's fasemes, because what the sofer has in mind, even though he doesn't know beans about Reuven's marital situation, he just knows that there's one wife that he has by the name of Leah. Nevertheless, he accepts the commission, what we call the tzivui ha-baal, exactly the way the baal had it in mind. Meaning, the Gemara is now mechadish a whole new principle. You would think that lishma depends totally, exclusively on the thought process. We should analyze the consciousness or the subconsciousness of the sofer. The sofer is exclusive. No. There's another element in the equation. The sofer wants to please the Baal who is mitzavahim to write the get. So his lishma is absolutely identical with whatever the Baal, the Megarish, who authorized him, had in mind. And since at the time of the writing of the get, at that moment in time, what did Reuven have in mind? Who did Reuven have in mind? Leah the first? That's where the lishma comes in. So there's an amazing chiddush here in the Gemara, according to the Sfasim. There's an automatic lishma vis-a-vis Leah the first, to the exclusion of any other Leah that possibly might be on the horizon, because of the nature of the tzivui ha-baal. Elamiha. Now we have to go to the next part of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says the following. Okay, now this Mishnah is not printed here on Chav Dalet Amud Beis, so I have to see exactly where it is. Does he tell you?
26.
Chavav? Okay. Let's take a look at the Mishnah on Chavav. Oh, very interesting. Remember I mentioned to you before that it's in the Sofer's interest to create a template so that when someone comes in to commission him for a get, he can go into his drawer, pull out a get that's been pre-prepared, and give it to him on the spot. You know, he won't lose his client, maybe he'll even charge him a little bit less. I don't know. So the Mishnah establishes that there are two parts to a get, one of which lends itself to a template, as we call it, and the other does not. Anybody know what these two parts of a get are called?
Torif.
Okay, well, let's start with the one that you can make a template. We're advocating in favor of the sofer here. We're in the sofer's union. Okay, that's called a tofes. Okay, the tofes includes all the material that's standard in a get. For those of you who are more familiar with the ksuba than a get, you'll know what I'm talking about. You know, 90% of the ksuba you could just print out of the computer, any computer on the face of the earth. It's standard. It's uniform. That's called the tofes. Then there's something called the Toref I get. The Toref I get includes the following elements. Number one, Shem Ha'ish, the name of the husband. Number two, Shem Ha'isha, the name of the wife. And number three, Harei At Megureshes Mimeni Umuteres L'chol Otav. I hereby, with this document, am divorcing you, and now you can marry anyone except for a Kohen. The Gemara establishes, based on this Mishnah, on Chavav, that there's a fundamental difference between the Tofes and the Torah. Whereas the Tofes I get, which is the standard uniform part of the get, that doesn't have to be written Lishma, and therefore lends itself to a template situation. But the rest, which is called the Torah I get, the names of the Baal and the Isha, for example, those have to be written Lishma. They have to be authorized by the Megaresh on behalf of his wife, whose name is that's the name that the wife that he wants to divorce, and then the sofer can write it lishma.
Also the name of the city, correct?
The name of the city, I think so, I'm not sure. I have to double check that. That's all in the eighth parak of Gittin. You know.
And again, doesn't it have the wife's father's name?
Well, yeah, when I say the wife's name, I mean Bas Solis.
So they both have the same father's name as well?
Yeah, that's true too. Right. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Elamiha. The Mishnah says, Yeser al-Kain, Omar le-Lavlar, the Baal commissions the Sofer. Sofer is called the Lavlar in the Mishnah's language. Ksov, write again on my behalf, Uli Eze She'erze Agarishbo. In other words, he tells the sofer he has two wives with the same name, but he tells the sofer that at this point in time I have yet to decide which one of these two ladies I want to divorce. And the Mishnah says, Pasul Lagarish Bo. Now this is clearly a case of stoma. The sofer has in mind, exactly the way the Baal commissioned him, one of two ladies. And therefore, if there's a halach of stoma, which means that he could have in mind, you know, a general group, and that itself could generate lishma and be machshir the get, then this get should have been kosher. The obvious answer to this question is that we prove from here that stoma is shalo lishma. So Gemara says, Dil mashani hacha hasam di'ein breira. Meaning, we don't say that later on, when he decides which of the two wives he wants to divorce, we go back, Lemafre, we go back retroactively to his original commission, and we say, well, that's the one that he had in mind, and that's the one that the sofer had in mind when he wrote the get. But the Mishnah is telling me, Ein Breira. Ein Breira means that the husband, when he commissioned this get, didn't know, and in an absolute sense, he didn't have in mind her or her. And therefore, that's considered a chisaron, a lack of lishma. Why? So Rashi says something amazing over here. Rashi says, Ein Breira, four lines down from the top, Ugrea Mistama, this is worse than a case of Mistama. And again, intuitively, we're siding with the Havamin of the Gemara. This is a perfect example of Mistama, because neither the Baal nor the Sofer knew which one of these two ladies the get was being designed for. Dishema Bisha Shenichtav Lohaya Bidaito Shel Baal Zu. I'm sorry, Lizu. The Intak L'Shem Ha'acheres. So again, he's got Leah the first and Leah the second. It's possible that even though at the end of the day he decided to divorce Leah the second, but that wasn't the woman that he had in mind when he initially commissioned the sofer to write to get. Maybe he had in mind Leah the first. That's called Ein Breira. Now, if you notice, Rashi adds the word Shema. We don't know whether, because he himself doesn't know. In other words, if you would have stopped him in his tracks when he commissioned the writing of the get and asked him, well, which Leah are you going to divorce? He himself would have admitted that he doesn't know. So Rashi's saying, but it's possible that somehow, I don't know, maybe Rashi means late in his latent awareness, in his subconscious mind, he had in mind, he was more inclined towards one of the two ladies, and he changed his mind in the middle. So that's called intakle, Rashi says. In other words, intakle means that although at the end of the day, Reuven decided to divorce Leah the second, we'll call it Leah the younger, but initially his deeper feeling was to divorce Leah the first. And therefore the Lishma, so far as we've already established that the sofer writes it for the sake of whatever the Baal has in mind, therefore the Lishma was geared exclusively towards Leah the first, and at the end see, if I hold Yesh Breira, then it's very good. Because Yesh Breira means that we can determine which of the two women he had in mind to divorce based on his sofer shel davar at the end of the day, who he actually divorced. And therefore the sofer fulfilling the will of the Baal, my gosh, he wrote it lishma for that lady. Let's say it was Leah the second. So Breira tells me that from the moment that he commissioned writing the get, he really had in mind Leah the second. Now again, Rabosai, you can understand this Gemara on two levels. On one level, you could say the Gemara is arguing on a psychological plane. You know, do we assume that since at the end of the day he decided to divorce Leah the second, that's really what he had in mind from the beginning? But the truth is, it's impossible to go that way, because if Breira is a psychological principle, then there's no way that you can universalize it to other halachas. Breira is one of the most profound and widespread concepts, the machlokas about Yesh Breira or Ein Breira, throughout all of Shas. For example, Breira is a sugya nerevin about Tafoshes Trumas and Maestros, right? So he hasn't yet decided which part of this tevel, let's say Yayin Shel Tevel, he's going to designate as Truma. And he goes ahead and he drinks the wine, and only at the end he decides that the last wine that's there is going to be Truma. So what are you going to tell me? Psychologically, this is the Yehold Yesh Breira. This is what he had in mind for the beginning. And there are many, many other sugyas in Shas of Breira. So the sugya Breira Mirza Shem, Beli Neder, I would take up Be'ir, and you know, that would be a perfect example of my latest year. But for now, what we have to understand is that the Gemara, according to Rashi, applies the same principle of Intuke to the case of Ein Breira, which means that if he hasn't decided which of his two wives he wants to divorce, and we hold Ein Breira, it means that it's very possible that the wife that he ultimately decides to divorce is not the same that he initially wanted to divorce. But again, not on a psychological level, but in terms of the commissioning of Lishma. Yeah, Shmuel?
Isn't what Rashi is saying in a way kind of both saying both is not necessarily either?
Yeah, it could be.
You can't divorce two women with one get. Right,
right. Right. So what does it mean? It could be, okay, this is really out of our league for now. There's something called the Suffolk of Tarti de Sasu. So I'll just say this very quickly, and you probably won't have any clue, because I don't have any clue what I'm about to say. There's something called Bein HaShemashos. Bein HaShemashos is twilight zone between Shkia and Seis HaKochavim. Now, most people understand, because the Gemara calls it Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, it's a Suffolk. The truth is, it's not a Suffolk. It's called a Tarti Desasri. Not for us now, but there are two categories of Sfeikas. One Suffolk is where we know, where we don't know exactly, but it's one or the other. We just don't know. There's another category of Suffolk where it's both, and they're mutually exclusive. And only Halacha can accept A and not A at the same time. And that's you have to know the way Halacha operates. In my Brisket Derech Shir, I gave a whole series just on this concept of Tarti Desasri. My Rebbe Reb Soloveitchik made a parnas out of it. You know, he used it all over the place. I suspect that the Sugya Breira is also dependent upon what we call Suffolk of Tarti Desasri.
You said before that you presume that the Sofer knows what the Baal is thinking, and that's what Lishma is.
No, I don't mean that he knows what the Baal is thinking. If I said that, I stand corrected. What I meant to say is that he doesn't know what the Baal is thinking, but whatever the Baal is thinking, that's what the Lishma is. In other words, his Lishma is molded by the thoughts and the intentions of the Baal. That's what I meant to say.
But he doesn't know what those are.
And he doesn't know what those are. And that's the way the Halach operates, that the Baal is meant... The Sofer is really just an agent of the Baal. So when the Sofer thinks Lishma, his Lishma is influenced by, even if he doesn't know what the Baal has in mind, and he certainly doesn't.
What is this Lishma of the Sofer? What is it? I don't understand.
The Lishma of the Sofer is one of two things. Either it's for a specific woman, right? And that'll apply in the Gemara's Maskana whenever the Baal has in mind to, and after he commissions the Sofer, a specific woman, or if you hold Ein Breira, maybe he had in mind a specific woman. Or alternatively, the Sofer can have in mind what we say he was riding on two horses at the same time. He may have had in mind what I called, again, I don't want to repeat myself for the 10th time, a fallback position, a more general kind of Lishma, that in event, and that's what the Gemara tries to push for in this agenda, that there's a concept called stoma in get, and he could have a listoma. This get is for gerushin. I'm not learning safaris. I'm not an apprentice. It's for gerushin. Whom? That we'll decide later on. You know, and that's in the sofer's best interest. And the Gemara rejects that. And the Gemara says no. The sofer, if he's commissioned by the Baal, does not have in mind some sort of a general kavana. His lishma is molded by the Baal, even though he's not aware of what the Baal has in mind.
Rebbe,
good to see you, by the way.
If I'm listening,
we'll get you for 3 days.
If I'm listening to you, you know, a sofer and the Baal, they know each other. The Sofer hardly ever knows the wife of the Baal that he's going to divorce. So he does what the Baal asks him to do.
Right, right.
He writes it down. He's doing it b'dishmo because he's doing exactly what the Baal
right.
has asked him to do. But here with the two wives,
right.
the problem isn't the problem of the Sofer because he's done it b'dishmo. It's a problem of the Baal.
Right? And if the Baal had in mind one specific wife of his, and then he changed his mind, that undermines the Lishma. Why? Because Lishma was generated by the Tzivui Baal. Ella says the Gemara, I'm just moving on because of the time element here. Meha. Right? We already indicated that there are two parts of a get. And the Mishnah establishes that Hakosev Tofse Gitin, when a person writes a template for a get, he's a sofer, Tzarech she'aniach makom ha'ish u'makom ha'isha u'makom ha'edim u'makom ha'zman. Okay, now here is very interesting. The Mishnah is spelling out exactly what constitutes the Toref haget, which has to be written l'shma. So first we have the name of the man, the Megarish. Number two, we have the makom. Okay, now the makom is very interesting because there are two dinim in makom. It's not for us now, Rav Osai. You'd have to learn half a Masechta Gittin for this, and we're not learning Gittin today. There are three categories of makom. There's what we call makom ha'ish, so that we can identify that he's the Reuven from the city of Plisa, you know. And then there's the makom ha'isha, and then there's makom in general. That's the makom where the get was either written or given. That's also a sugya. And then he has to leave room for the Edom. Obviously, the Edom have to sign Lishma. Now, again, do the Edom have to sign Lishma or not? That's also a sugya. That's Machlok Shin Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Meir about Edom Asiri Karsi, Edom Hasima Karsi. Umakom Azman. And he has to leave room for the date. Now, this halacha of Makom Azman, just like the halacha of Edom, has nothing to do with Lishma. That has to do with what's called a shtar muktam. You know, if the date is inaccurate, it might possibly undermine the kashrus of the shtar. On Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, he adds another point in expanding the Toref. Af tzarch shi'aniach makom hareat muteris l'chol adam. Those words have to, they're part of the Toref, have to be written l'shma. So as far as the Tofus is concerned, that's fine. But the Toref, the sofer is not, he's not able to prepare the Toref, I get. Now, why can't the sofer? I'm going to be the devil's advocate. Why can't the sofer write a template for the Torah? And he'll write the name of the Baal, the Makom, the Shema Isha, Hareat Muteres, etc., the whole nine yards, and he'll say the following. Whoever fits the bill and wants to use this get, that's fine. He didn't have anyone specific in mind. What would that be, Rabbi Osai? Stama. And the get would be cautious. So why does the Mishnah exclude the possibility of the sofer preparing the Toref? Says the Gemara, we prove from this that Stama is not Lishma, because again, when it comes to get, because of La Sefer Krisus, he has to have in mind the specific Ish and the specific Isha. The general Kavanah L'Shem Gerishin is not kosher for Lishma. Okay. Right. That's the end of the sugya of Rava number one. What does that mean? Number one, the first sugya of Rava, to try to understand that Kodshim and Gerishin are fundamentally different. In Kodshim, Staman Lishma. In Gerishin, Staman is like Shalom Lishma. So that gray area where he has nothing specific in mind, the jughead, what we spoke about yesterday, that could go either way, that's okay for Kodshim. But it's not okay for get.
The last thing you said seemed to have been backwards. In other words, you said you can't, even if you put in the language that this is good for any, can be used by anyone, it's still not lishmoa.
Correct. So it's invalid. It's not lishmoa. Why? Because stama is shalom lishmoa, which means that in order to generate lishmoa in the get, he, the sofer, has to have in mind a specific ish and a specific ish. He can't just say anyone with that name or any combination of that name is okay. Let's move on, Rav Osai. Now we get to Rava number two. Su Rami Milsachrite. Now if you remember that one of the great Amoron had missed the Shia that day, so he told you missed the great Shia, you know, Rava Farenfid Asach Kashis, you know, he answered a lot of questions. What was Rava's second question? Me Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, we have a tradition in the name of Rav that Chatos Sheshachta L'Shem Ola Psula. Okay, that we saw in our Mishnah already. Remember the Chatos was the exception to the rule, and Shalol Lishma Pasul's the get the Korban. However, here's the Chiddush of Rav. Shchata l'shem chulin k'shera. If he had in mind that he was shechting it for chulin, in other words, that this animal was not hegdesh, then it's kosher. They're very paradoxical, because you would think that with regard to chatos, we need lishma. And here, he certainly doesn't have lishma, he doesn't have in mind l'shem chatos, but notice he doesn't have in mind what? A different karban. He has in mind chulin. Now, if we had time, Rabosai, I would take out Hilchas Shofar, just to give you an illustration of what this sugya is all about. There's halach in shofar that if I have to blow, let's say, a tekiah, and in the middle of the tekiah somebody blows a shvarim or a trua, that's called a chatzitza, that's called an interruption, it's a hefsek, and we got to start the whole seder from the beginning. But if a dog barks in the middle of my tekiah, or my shvarim, or my trua, that's not considered a hefsek. And why? Because that's called min b'she'eno mino. Min b'she'eno mino means it comes from a different world. When we speak about a hefsek that breaks up a continuity, it's got to be me'oso min. It's got to be from something that's similar. You have a kli and a kli, but one kli is tar, one kli is tameh, so forth, so on. You have one kol shofar, but it's only good for a trua, the other kol shofar is only good for a shvarim, and so forth and so on. So you have min b'mino. Then it's a hefsek. That's considered that you veered off the path, you digressed, and you undermined your kiyum. But if it's min b'sheino mino, you know, something from a different world, you know, somebody screams Horton hears a who from the moon, that's not a hefsek. So the Gemara says that chulin belongs to a different world as far as kachim is concerned. There are two worlds. When a shochet slaughters an animal, is he slaughtering kachim or is he slaughtering chulin? They're two different worlds. Alma says the Gemara, what is Rav based on? What's the logic that underlies Rav's statement? Demina, let's say for example, you had another kachim, so instead of shechting this chatos l'shem chatos, he shechted l'shem ola. Okay, that could possibly machrivba means it ruins it. But delomina, but something like a machsheves chulin, which comes from a different world, has nothing in common here. Lo machrivba. And the Gemara says, wait a minute, if a machsheves chulin is considered low mina and therefore low machriv, but Rabosai, I'm just giving you a recommendation for those of you here who really want to, you know, understand and know Masechta Zvachim. I'm not saying everyone fits that bill, but if that's your goal in life, please memorize those words. Shalom b'mina lo machriv ba. Okay? You got to memorize those words, because otherwise you're in trouble. And you got to think of them in your sleep and mumble them. Lo mina, if it's not from the same min, lo machriv ba. It's considered zilch. It's nothing. It doesn't register on the Richter scale. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Let's say a man would write a get. And we said that if he writes it shalom l'shma, the get is possible. What happens if the shalom l'shma belongs to a different universe? It's lo mina. According to Rav, the logical conclusion should be lo machriv, but it doesn't undermine. So I give an example. Again, the Gemara doesn't give this example. Maybe because it's too gas, you know, it's not edel. You know, but let's say the man has in mind that, you know, the sofer has in mind that Reuven is going to divorce his cow, Elsie. Would that be mina or shalom b'mina? Nobody follows what I'm saying. Yeah, he wants to divorce an animal instead of a human being. You understand what I'm saying?
It's a different world.
It's a different world. So that would not undermine the lishma according to Rab, because only mina underlines. Now let's say he has in mind that this man is divorcing a non-Jewish woman. Now, once again, that's lav mina. Why? Again, we'd have to spend an hour on this, but you just accept this, you know, at face value right now, that you need what's called a bar ishus. Bar ishus means an individual to whom marriage is applicable. It's tofes. An avodas kochavim, which is another word for a non-Jewish woman, a heathen woman, is not included in ishus. You know, there may be issues between a non-Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman. That itself would require 10 hours of work in Masechta Sanhedrin. But certainly in the case of a Jewish man, a non-Jewish woman is considered out of the parasha. She's out of the orbit. And yet, Uriminu, I'll ask you a question, says Rav. The Mishnah in Gittin says, Kol HaGetcha Nikhtav Shalo L'Shem Isha Pasol. V'afilu L'Shem Avodas Kalchavim Nami Pasol. He wrote a get for the sake of Elizabeth. Okay, now every it became a Jewish name. Can we think of Christiana? I don't know if it's just some Goyshe name. I don't know if there is such a thing as a Goyshe name anymore. You know, Chazal, our forefathers left Mitzrayim because Shaloshinu Eshma, but I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So there's one particular community in New York that they love non-Jewish names. I never understood it. I never understood why. And it's like a religion by them. These are Orthodox Jews, very religious. But to them, you know, Stephen and Joseph and all these names, I mean, it's like anyway. So what happened? He writes the get for the sake of this woman. So according to the logic of Rav, that shelo b'mino lo machriv bay, this get should be kosher. You can't call it a shelo lishma. Shelo lishma means instead of Leah, he, you know, Leah the first, he wrote it for Leah the second. But if he wrote it for Christiana, whatever her name is, Vishani and Rav gave an answer. Oh, this answer in my mind is so beautiful that I don't understand the question to begin with. Says Rav, get? Forget about the fact that he had in mind the shiksa. Havilei stama. He didn't have in mind this woman, Leah. And stoma apostle, we've just finished an entire sugya in which we proved that in the case of get, you have to have a positive kavanah lishma, which means that a roommate's married to Leah, he's not married to this Christian woman, right? So he had in mind for that Christian woman, it's not lishma. Kachim, but in the case of kachim, dal chulin minayhu, havile stoma. If you remove the machshav of chulin, because lav mina eno machriv bay, which means it's command the lesson of it. It's as if his machshev is chulin didn't exist here vis-a-vis kodshim, shkitas kodshim. It's stomach shayrim. We've already established that stomach is kilishma dami. It has the same din as kilishma. So in the case of chulin, since eno mino eno machriv bay, therefore becomes lishma. When I say it becomes lishma, please don't take me literally. What I mean to say, it's as if it was shechted lishma, meaning it has the same halachic status as lishma. And now, Rabosai, we're up to Rava the third. Urama milsachriti, and Rava has another kash. Okay, this is where the going gets a little bit rough. And Rabosai, what I said to you yesterday, I want to reiterate today. If we can survive the next sugya, I promise you, believe me, you'll be happy with Masechta Zvachim. But unfortunately, I didn't write the script, and we got to get through the next sugya. And I'm not promising you that I understand the next sugya. I'll try to do the best I can. Because to really appreciate this next sugya, we would need months of work. Okay. Amar Rav Yehud, me Amar Rav Yehud, Amar Rav, Chata Sheshchata L'Shem Ola Psula, but Shchata L'Shem Chulin Kshera Alma. Mina machriv ba delo mina lo machriv ba. We've just established that if he has a machshav l'shem chulin, it belongs to a different world. It's lav mina, and therefore it doesn't undermine the lishma. It's as if he had nothing in his mind. You know, a machshav is chulin with regard to kachim is like nothing in mind. And if it's like nothing in mind, so stava lishma in kachim. So what are you telling me, that something that belongs to a different min is not? It does not register. What are we going to do with Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara? Now let me say by introduction that the specific parsha that we're going to deal with here in Tumah V'Tahara is the parsha that we read just a few days ago. It's in Parsha Shmini, and that's called the parsha of Kli Cheres. Now there are two in Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. There are fundamentally two different types of utensils. Okay, one is called a kli cheres, okay, and the other is called a kli shetef. Okay, now the word shetef, which means to flow, and has to do with water, these are kelim that lend themselves to tara b'mikvah. Mikvah is water, and therefore we borrow that term, we call it a kli shetef. So for example, a metal kli, which is called mateches, or a kli eitz, which is a wooden kli. All these, and many more, are called kli shetef. A kli cheres is made of earthenware, pottery. And a kli cheres, as the Torah says in Parashat Shmini, has a unique status in Tumah V'Tahara. We touched last, if you remember, about Hefsi Tzura, those who were here with Muktzah and the din of Shivrei Kelim and Kli Cheres. You remember, we had a lot from the Hari Kedem on that topic. What's relevant for us now is to understand that this Tumah of Kli Cheres is unique insofar as it's out the source of Tumah, let's call it a sheretz, right, a crawling creature, is outside the kli. No, I'm sorry. Just the opposite. The source of Tumah is inside the kli without touching the walls of the kli. So again, if I think Art Store may have a picture, I don't know, but what happens is the sheretz is suspended inside of this kli cheres. That's called avir, avir akli. Now, as a result of the fact that the sheretz is inside the avir akli, magically, this kli becomes tummy. Normally, for a kli shetef, we need that this sheretz touch the kli from the outside of the kli. Here, the tumah comes mitocho shel kli, from the inside of the kli. Now, in a place of a kli cheres, anything inside the kli called ochlin umashkin, okay, meaning any food stuff that's inside this kli, like a classical case of a kli cheres is a tanur, is an oven. An oven in those days was made of cheres. So if let's say there's a sheretz inside the oven, then all the ochlin umashkin that are inside this oven become tame through the avir of a kli cheres. The good news is that if a sheretz would latch itself onto the outside of a tanur, the tanur remains, a kli cheres remains tame. So if we compare kli cheres to kli shetef, there's a two-way street here. In other words, there's a chumra and a kula in both directions. The chumra of a kli cheres is that it's metame the avir akli, so that all ochlin umashkin inside the kli are tame. The kula of a kli cheres is that if the sheretz is no gear from the outside of the kli, then the kli remains tahar. In contrast, the kli shetef has a kula in which avir akli does nothing to the kli. You need megia, you need maga. But in addition to maga from the inside, you can have maga from the outside in the case of a kli shetef. Now, our sugya is going to deal with the following situation. What happens if inside this oven, again, I'm using the oven as our paradigm of a kli cheres, I have another kli. I'm not telling you what that kli is. It might be this, it might be that. Two possibilities, but we're not ready for that yet. So what's inside the kli? In other words, the kli that's inside the kli, it's got ochlin umashkin inside. Okay? Now, the sheretz is suspended in midair inside the tanur, and you have this other kli that has ochlin umashkin. So this opens up the sugya of what's called chatzitza. Chatzitza means a separation, something that blocks the tumah and confines it, so it can't expand. So again, if I have inside the oven, I've got my cholin cooking, and a sheretz is suspended in the air of the oven is a kli cheres, then the cholin becomes tameh. However, if the cholin is inside a kli, and that kli itself is inside the oven, then the walls of the kli become what we call a chatzitza, and they protect the tumah from spreading and penetrating inside the kli.
Doesn't it matter what that second kli is made of?
Oh. So then let's see it inside, because the Gemara is going to say it doesn't matter. Okay? Tanya. Vatanya. You have it? Velo tocho. If the sheretz is inside the avir of the kli cheres, although it's metame toch hakli, you know, it's any ochlin umashkin that are inside the kli cheres, but if the ochlin umashkin are inside another kli, which is inside the kli cheres, then those foodstuffs, that foodstuff is protected because it's called toch tocho. It's inside and inside. Do you follow me? It's in the airspace of the kli cheres, but it's also inside the kli that's in the kli cheres. That's called toch tocho. And the Braisa goes on to say it doesn't matter what that kli is. That kli, the inner kli, that's containing the ochlin umashkin, might be a kli cheres, which makes life easier for us, in a sense, because a kli cheres does not become tomei me from the outside, right? From migabo, it's called. Okay, I didn't write that on the board. Migabo means from the outside. Well, that's an Aramaic word. But not only that, afilu klishetef matzil. Matzil means it's a chetzitza that saves the ochlin inside that kli, the tocho kli, from becoming tome. And why is that? Because it's very interesting. We said there's a great chiddush, a chumra in kli cheres, that in the avir, it's metame anything inside the kli. That's only true as far as ochlin umashkin is concerned. If there are other utensils inside the kli cheres, even though they are kli shetef, which lend themselves to a tuma migabo, but the kli cheres doesn't have the power to inject, to spread tuma in onto the kli itself. So it's very fascinating, because the kli cheres could be metame any ochlin inside the kli through its avir when the sheretz is suspended in the air, but it cannot be metame the keli that's inside of it. Only ochlin umashkin. So this gewaldige chiddush, this revolutionary chiddush that the Torah is mechadish in the parasha Shmini, that a kli cheres is metame anything inside of it, the aviro is limited to ochlin umashkin. It doesn't apply to the kli. So now we have a kli shetef inside a kli cheres. Now again, there's a whole other issue here that I don't want to get into. Rashi insists that the inside kli, the inner kli, which is called the kli shetef in our case, the top of that kli rises above the top of the tanur. So the opening of the kli is outside the tanur. I would ask you to leave that discussion, because Tosfos argues with that. That's for really, really heavy tars, which we're learning kashrus, but not tars. Okay. So be that as it may, the kli itself now, the kli shetef, could not become tami, because a kli cheres mi avir cannot be metami another kli, it could only be tami ochlin umashkin. And now that the kli itself remains tar, it protects the ochlin umashkin inside of it. It's like a box, you know, it's like a barrier, you know, that saves the ochlin umashkin. Says the Gemara, this doesn't make any sense according to Rav. Why? Because Rav has a principle that eino mino, eino machriv ba. And a kli shetef, in comparison to a kli cheres, is called eino mino. Rava understands that since a kli shetef has its own dinim, as we said before, in contrast to a kli cheres, in two directions. Number one, it's only metame mi gabo, and it's only metame benigia, a kli shetef, whereas a kli cheres is metami the avir, correct? It's metami avir, it's not metami migabo. The dinim that separate, the gulf, the gap that separates between a kli cheres and a kli shetef is so great and so wide that they belong to two different worlds. And if they belong to two different worlds, then the kli shetef vis-a-vis the kli cheres is keman delesa domi. Eino machriv ba means as if it doesn't exist. And if it doesn't exist, it doesn't have the power to form a barrier chatzitza to protect the ochlin umashkin from becoming tomei. Vishani and Rava gave an answer. And he says, you know what? You're looking for a parallel between kodshim and kelim in Tuma v'tara. You got it wrong. Just like chulin in kodshim is considered eino mino v'eino makriv ba, it's parallel in tuma v'tara in kelim would be what's called a mechitza. A mechitza is a partition. It's not a kli. You know, I put a curtain in the middle of my oven. I know why I would do that, I don't know. But let's say he has a curtain inside the oven. He's got food on one side of the curtain. He's got a sheretz that's hanging on the other side of the curtain. The ochlun umashkin would become tameh. Why? Because that's considered eino mino. But a kli, even if it's a kli shetef, is considered min b'mino. That's already min akeilah. In other words, Rav is answering the following. That although there's a fundamental difference and a gap between kli shetef and kli cheres, one thing they have in mind, they're in common.
They're both kelim.
Exactly. The lowest common denominator is that they're both kelim. And if they're both kelim, that's called min b'mino. And if it's min b'mino, then it's command to isan. I mean, it exists. And if it exists, it could be chotzeitz, it could now be matzil, bifnei atuma, and the ochlun umashkin in the inner kli, which is the kli shetef, remain tar. But if you were to set up a parallel to chulin, meaning if you want to get a case in tuma v'tara, which would be eino mino, that would be a mechitza. What's the interesting mechitza in a kli shetef? A mechitza is not a kli.
Can't you argue in chulin that a par is a par? It doesn't matter whether it's chulin or korbanos. A par is a par.
Not in shechita. I'll tell you why. Because you're right. It's in shechita. Since the shechita of kadshim and the shechita of chulin are so fundamentally different, we discussed this once. I don't know when, but sometime about carbon pesach. That the shechita of carbon pesach is unique, and so on and so on. Therefore, with regard to the, you know, to the avoda, your shechita in kadshim becomes an avoda. It takes on a whole new personality with different dinim, and then of course zrikas adam and all this. None of this exists in chulin, and therefore chulin is considered according to Rav eino mino. Now again, Michael, it could be that when we learn the Masechta, we'll find someone who disagrees with Rav. And he might say that a chatas l'shem chulin is considered min b'mino, and it would undermine the chatas and passel it. But we're holding out like Rav. That's all we have in front of us. And Rav is of the opinion that shchitas chulin is eino mino. And the Gemara says it's parallel in tuma v'tara would be a mechitza that doesn't have a shem kli, and therefore the mechitza would not be matzil. So let's read it inside. V'shani asu chulin etzel kodshim. You should consider chulin with regard to kodshim. Kimechitza etzel tanur. Like the case of a mechitza which was placed in the middle of an oven. And the mechitza is not a kli. And therefore it's not mimin hatanur. The tanur is a kli. And the mechitza is not. Is ma mechitza etzel tanur lo mahanya lo klal. The mechitza in the middle of the tanur, this partition, we call it a curtain in the middle of the tanur, would not protect and stop the tumah from expanding into the ochlin. Is chulin etzel kodshim lo mahanya le klal, the machshav of chulin doesn't register with regard to kodshim. And then the Gemara quotes the next part of the Mishnah, which gives an example of a mechitza, and quotes Machlokas Tanoim about the status of Machitza in Hilchas Tumah V'Tara. This now we learned in the Mishnah in Kelim. Tanur Shechatzitzo B'Nisarim. He splits the Tanur into two parts by putting planks over there. Obi Rios, or some sort of a curtain. V'Nimtza Sheretz B'Makom Echad Hakol Tomei. And why is that? Because Nisarim and Yerios are considered Eino Mino. And Eino Mino Eino Chotzeitz. And it's Eino Machriv. And therefore there's nothing to stop the tumor from spreading and infecting the ochlin umashkin on the other side of this urea. Kaveres is a certain type of a kli that was made up of compartments. It looked a little like a beehive. Shehi p'chusa, and it opened up. In other words, it had a nekev in it. You know, something, somebody bashed it. Upkuka bakash, and then he filled it up, that opening. He plugged it. He plugged it up with kash, with straw. And umishuleshes li'avir atanur. Now he puts this kaveres into the tanur. Sheretz betocha. The sheretz is now suspended in the avir of the oven. Atanur tameh, because that's called kli cheres is tameh mi'avir. But sheretz... Batanur, I'm sorry. But ha'ochlin shebetocho tmeim, but the food that's inside this kaveres, because since it had that opening in it, and it no longer functions as a kli, again, this is relevant to Hilchos Muktzah, it no longer has the status of a kli, but rather, it becomes a mechitza, and if it becomes a mechitza, then it's considered lo b'mina. If it's lo b'mina, it doesn't exist, it doesn't register, and the tumah can spread from one side of the kli through the avret, the sheretz, and the avret to the other side of the kli. But Rabbi Eliezer metayer. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer rejects the whole premise of the Chachamim, and he holds that even a mechitza, which is not a kli, will save and protect the tumah, restrict the tumah. I'm Rabbi Eliezer kavachomer. I have a kavachomer. If there's a dead body in an ohel, the unique situation of tumas mes is that anyone inside of a room, you know, that has a roof on it, which is called an ohel, and there's a corpse inside that room or inside that house or inside that tent, becomes tame. And now the law is, and this is Mishnayis and Olos, that if you establish a mechitza between the dead body and the other half of the tent where the person is, then the other person, the person is not tamei. So we see clearly, says Rabbi Eliezer, with regard to tumas mes, a mechitza, even though it's not a kli, is matzil. And if that's in a tumah chamura, a very severe tumah, because tumas mes is the most severe tumah. If somebody contracts tumas mes by having contact or being in the same roofed area with a mes, he's metame shivas yomim and he needs hazor b'shlish yushri, very chamur. It's lo tatzil b'klicheres hakal. Klicheres is only a tuma of ochlin umashkin. It's not a tuma zayin yom for an adam. Then certainly a mechitza could be matzil. So in Hilchos Tumah Vitara, a mechitza, if it's matzil in Tumas Mes, then certainly it would be Matzil in Tumas Klicheres. Klicheres is a very limited Tumah. It can only apply to Ochlin Umashkin. Amru Lo, and they said to him, and here we turn to Gimel Amid Beis, and again I apologize for the time, but I just want to get 5 more minutes. Im Hitzil Bimes Shekein Chaluka Olim Tatzil Bikliheres Sakal She'ein chalukim bi'ol. So Rashi says the following. An ohel is generally, let's say you want to separate different parts of the ohel. Well, I'll give you an example, privacy. Let's say I want privacy. So we're in the same ohel, and you're on this side, I'm on that side. So what do? We put up a mechitza, we put up a partition. So it's derech bekach. That's the normal way that you break up a continuous ohel, by putting a partition right down the middle. You set up a curtain. And those who go out, to hang out on the Kinneret, you know, and they sleep out there in the wild, you know, or wherever they go, they know what I'm talking about. You know, you set up a partition because I want some privacy. But in the case of a klicheres, whoever heard that in the middle of an oven, you know, klicheres, you're going to put up a mechitza. So therefore, the very basis of your equation, and therefore your kal v'chomer, say the chachom to Rabbi Eliezer, is faulty. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Ha'tenach l'rabbanon. You see that the rabbanon are holding that a mechitza that's made out of something that's not a kli, it's just a curtain. Since it doesn't have a shame kli, it's considered eno mino, and it's not machriv in the tumah. The tumah expands, and it's metame the ochlin, then the mashkin that's inside the kli cheres, and forget about the curtain. That's good. That reflects the sheet of Rav, that eno mino, eno machriv. But Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that a mechitza does save the tumah, is matzil, is maikel meimar. In other words, the Gemara assumes now that Rav, when he made his statement about Eino Mino Eino Machrupa, he's making such a universal fundamental statement that it should be accepted by everyone. The Gemara doesn't understand how there could be a Tana on the face of the earth who would reject Rav. So Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer kal v'chomer ka'amar. Now here Rabbo said, this is a very important methodological move that the Gemara is making. The Gemara is saying that there are various ways that we can establish an exception to a rule. Normally, before this Gemara, I would have said to you an exception to the rules established by a pasuk, you know, by a yalfuso. You know, we have it. You know, we have a xeris hakasuv, and this case is different. Take it out of the general klal. The Gemara is adding another point to that. Even a kal v'chomer, because a kal v'chomer is a very technical kind of yalfusa. It works, you know, it's one of the yud gimel midos shatar dreshes ban, and it works according to specific rules and regulations. Even a kal v'chomer is like a pasuk in chumash. Meaning, since the Torah taught us, and this is Mishnayis elsewhere in Olos, that in Tumas Mesa Mechitza is Matzil, we can derive from that that how much more so in the case of a Kli Cheres, which is Kal, the Mechitza could be Matzil. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer basically agrees, you know what, Rav, you're correct. As a fundamental, universal principle, Eino Mino, Eino Machrivba, and therefore a Mechitza should not be Matzil in Kli Cheres. But since the Torah already established a precedent that in Tumas Mes, a Mechitza is Matzil, I have to apply the rule of Kal V'chomer. And the rule of Kal V'chomer tells me that in Hilchas Kli Cheres, as far as Tuma for the Ochlin Umashkin, we have a din that Mechitza is Matzil. And where do we derive that from? From the fact that it's Matzil in Kli, excuse me, in Tumas Mes. Yehachi, says the Gemara, Hasom Nami Leva Kal V'chomer. I don't understand. If Rabbi Lezer is right, and you apply the exception to the rule because of a Kal V'chomer, then even in the case of Chulin, remember where we had a Machsheves Chulin in a Chatos, I should apply a Kal V'chomer. What Kal V'chomer? Kodshim Mechalalim, if he shechted this Chatos for the purpose of an Ola, is he passels the carbon? Is kodshim mechalalim kodshim? Is chulin lo kolshken? How much more so if he had such a foreign machshava that he was thinking about chulin? And I will say at this point we have a tosus here, dibra maschil hocha nami kal v'chomer. This tosus would take about an hour. So I don't know what to do. No, I'm really in a bind. But the truth is that I just present to you Tosus's problem. I mean, Rav, when he said Eino Mino Eino Machruv, he was saying that Al Pi Svara, logically, Eino Mino Eino Machruv. That's a universal halacha that applies all over Shas, all over halacha. All of a sudden, the Gemara wants to say the exact opposite. The Gemara is saying that we should use Kal V'chomer, which is presumably a logical principle, to come to the exact opposite conclusion. That if he had a Machshavas Chulin, that should certainly undermine the car. What do you mean? It's Eino Machrivba because it's Eino Mina. How did the Gemara go back and forth and completely undermine its understanding? Yesh Tema, he said, Ad Hashta Asiknu Ipcha. The Gemara said just the opposite. Mitoch HaSvara, the Adra B'Shvil Shem Kodshim, Umina lekach machrivei chulin to lav mina lo machrivei. And now the Gemara wants to say no. If mina is machrivei, then how much more so lav mina should be machrivei. And in order to answer this question, Tosus says you have to learn a whole sugya later on in Zvachim on daf mem vav amid beis. Okay, then. So let's just see what time it is. Wow, time flies. We'll just read one more line, and that's it. I'll let you go. I'm sorry. Alma, the Gemara says, "Asa kravi afke mikal v'chomer." So the Gemara says that it must be. We have no choice but to say that despite this kal v'chomer, the drasha is going to tell me that Machsheves Chulin is not Machriv, doesn't pass the carbon. What is this drasha? So I skipped a few lines. The Gemara says the following: Ela Taima de Rav. Rav is not based on logic, on some sort of universal principle of Lav Mina Eino Machriv, but rather Kid Rabbi Lozo. This is not Rabbi Elias at the Taima that we're dealing with today. This is Rabbi Lozo and Amora. The Omer Rabbi Lozo, my Taima de Rav. Rav derives it from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Va'yikrochav beis v'lo yechalu es kodshei bnei Yisrael." Eis asher yorimu l'Hashem, kodshim mechalim kodshim, v'ein chulin mechalim kodshim. Rav is not based on the logical principle that we universalize that lav mina in a machrubah. He's based on a drush in the pasuk. And that drasha teaches me that kodshim is machal kodshim. That if you have the wrong machshava is kodshim, instead of having a machshava for chatos, you have a machshava for ola, that's machalel. That undermines the status of the korban. But ein chulim machalim kodshim. Alma asakrav yafke mikal v'chomer. The Gemara says, you see that the even though the kal v'chomer is logical, nevertheless, the pasuk comes to undermine the kal v'chomer. So you have a theory, you have a contradiction between a kal v'chomer, which is a logical kind of derivation, and a pasuk. Then you accept the pasuk and you reject the kal v'chomer. And the Gemara is going to ask now, hachinami leisei tocho v'lifkei mikal v'chomer. How could Rabbi Eliezer rely on this kal v'chomer that if a machitza is matzil in tumas mes, then how much more so should be matzil in tumas kli cheres? But what about the pasuk tocho? So b'lineda tomorrow, what we have to start with here, if you can make a note of where we're up to, is we're going to try to understand what the Gemara derives from the word tocho. Is it an extra word, and how does it tell me that? That you can save the Ochlin and Mashkin because they're on the other side of a Mechitza. How does Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, how does he derive this from the word Toch? Okay then? Does anybody happen to have a pencil? I just want to make a note. Thank you so much. Where we're up to. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're sweating it out here. But again, as I told you, it gets better.